According to Sir James Lovelock, among others, our atmosphere may have been created by the creatures in the sea. When there was no life on land and not enough oxygen to support multicellular species, that is, all the life we can see, tiny creatures began to change the chemistry of the air over countless eons of time, and finally they created the layer of oxygen that supports us all. Now a different complex organism is changing the atmosphere once more, in a blink of geological time. They are humans, attached to carbon machines. What we never realized as we cruised in our magnificent cars and plugged in the world is that the sea may still be master of the skies. Andreas Schmittner is lead author of a study done by the Oceanography Department at the University of Oregon. They studied how increased carbon dioxide could sentence the climate to long terms of higher temperature, even after we have stopped polluting. Planet Earth may continue to heat up for another 100 or 200 years, even after the oil has run out, and machines run on energy from the sun, wind, and tides. Why? The warming ocean will increase biological productivity, including plankton blooms, and the hotter seas cannot absorb as much carbon. All this was published recently in the journal Global Biogeochemical Cycles. Schmittner says, quote, "The results of the model are somewhat alarming, because it shows that we cannot wait until we are in danger before beginning to address global warming. We need to be ahead of the curve." His team's computer study, using the most advanced models in the world, projected climate up to 500 years ahead. The results, he admits, are still tenuous, but they raise a huge red flag about the danger of continued pollution. I spoke with Andreas Schmittner and found him cautious, scientifically cautious. On the phone, you would hardly recognize him as the revolutionary who has upset most of the prediction just reported by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Let's talk with him. From Oregon, we're joined by the scientist Andreas Schmittner, and he's been working on some fascinating developments in climate change, and in particularly where climate change may go in the future. Can you tell us, first of all, where you work, Andreas, and then what you've been working on?
I work at the College of Oceanic and Atmospheric Sciences at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. And my work is simulations of climate change using computer models.
And your computer models, as I understand it, show that we can't just cut down carbon sometime in the next century and then hope everything will go back to normal. Is that right?
Well, yes. In a sense that if we reduce carbon emissions, the climate system will still continue to warm for a while until the climate stabilizes.
Well, let's say we go on with business as usual to 2100. Then what happens?
Well, in my model simulation, the climate warms until 2100, but if the emissions are reduced after that until zero until year 2300, then the climate will still continue to warm. In total, by the year 2500 or so, the warming will be 8 degrees Celsius or 16 degrees Fahrenheit. And most of that will occur, or 50% about of that warming will occur after the reduction of the carbon emissions at year 2100.
Well, how is that possible? Most of us are thinking of a one-to-one ratio of greenhouse gases. If there's fewer greenhouse gases, then it should cool off right away, but your model doesn't show that. So what is driving the continued heat?
Well, it is like putting a dye into a bucket, so the color will keep changing as long as we put more dye into it. And that is also the case with the carbon emissions. As long as we put carbon into the atmosphere, the CO2 will continue to increase, even if we reduce the amount that we put in each year.
So each additional part just adds to the problem, even though we're cutting back. Okay. Well, we're talking about hundreds of years, so what we're doing now could alter the climate of the Earth for the next civilization, basically.
Yes, that's right. What we're doing now will affect climate for not only the next 100 years, but the next several centuries or even millennia to come. And so it will affect many, many generations.
Well, how does this differ from what the IPCC was suggesting in their models?
Well, in the IPCC, most model projections cover only the 21st century until year 2100, and they do not go beyond that. So my simulation and the one by Matthews and Caldera are one of the few that go beyond that 2100 time horizon and look at the long-term effects of carbon emissions.
And we've talked a little bit about the biochemical going on in the ocean, the impact of ocean life itself in this continued heating. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, the outcome of my model study, which is one of the first that incorporates changes in the ocean biological systems on climate and the carbon cycle, shows that there are very large uncertainties at the moment. So I wouldn't trust my model in particular in this aspect, but the fact that my model simulates a much larger positive feedback between climate and the carbon cycle than previous models suggests that there might be some surprises still in store for us, and they could go both ways, either to reduce the effect of anthropogenic carbon emissions, that is, to lead to more carbon uptake by the oceans and reduced warming, or to amplify that, that is, to lead to more warming and less carbon uptake by the oceans.
Well, it's very disturbing when a scientist comes along and says, we think we know what's happening, but in fact there could be some unpredictabilities that we're just now discovering, even what we thought late in the game.
Yes. Well, this is just the state of the science that we are in right now. We are only beginning to incorporate biological effects into the coupled climate system models. And I think our research efforts need to be accelerated.
And, of course, the ocean is kind of still a big unknown, despite a lot of research. And, you know, what you're saying reminds me of what Sir James Lovelock was talking about, that in the Gaia theory, that it's possible that the atmosphere itself, in its current constitution, was created by biological life in the oceans a long time ago. So are you saying that, again, the oceans could play a big factor?
Yes. It is known that the oceans currently take up a large fraction, I think one-third or so, of all the CO2 that we put into the atmosphere. So the oceans are already a factor that reduce the global warming. But what happens in the future with respect to changes in phytoplankton productivity and those effects on the uptake of carbon, for example, due to changes in chemistry and calcium carbonate production. These are very uncertain at the moment, and they are not incorporated in the present-day climate models.
Well, where is your future research going to go?
Well, I would like to improve the biological components of the ocean, and in order to improve the projections for the future. But I'm also working a lot on past climate changes, because I think that only by understanding what happened in the past, we can be confident that our models are correct and be confident in their application for the future.
You know, I talked to one British scientist who said that one of the problems we do have with our current models is that they can't always predict the past climate shifts that have happened. Is that right?
Yes. There are different degrees of predictability of past climate events. It depends on what events you're talking about and But it's obvious that different models have different skills, and that's our terminology, in how well they can reproduce past climate changes.
Well, we've got a lot of work to go, and a lot depends on it. But in the meantime, I suppose you're one of those who says that we should err on the side of caution and reduce our emissions.
Yes. I think my study strongly advocates that aspect, and before we know better the effects, all the effects that are potentially responsible, we should be on the side of caution.
Well, I appreciate your talking with me, Andreas Schmittner from the University of Oregon, and I will put up a connection to his website, I hope, where people can find his work, and it's also been published in the Biogeochemical Research Journal in mid-February. Thank you, Andreas.
Thank you.
According to a University of Oregon press release, quote, in one simulation, Schmittner projected a gradual increase of greenhouse gas emissions until the year 2100, then reduced those emissions to virtually zero. His model showed that the climate would warm 4 degrees centigrade by 2100, then another 4 to 5 degrees over the next 200 years. End quote. Yet, as a scientist, Andreas must stress the whole situation, a biological response in the ocean to our greenhouse gas stress test, is very difficult to predict. That is why the IPCC simply left it out. Nobody knows, but the research so far shows how dangerous such a sudden shift in atmospheric carbon might be. If we keep on polluting, this study warns, the Earth may keep on warming long after humans have stopped staining the skies. The revenge of Gaia, indeed. This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.